I moved to the city 4 years ago and I was more than excited. A new place, new people, new stories. But as time went on, I got bored with Hartford. Our city slogan is Hartford has it. My friends and I would make fun of it because there are times where it seems our city has nothing but poverty. But a recent trip to a neighborhood I thought I knew and a meeting with someone passionate about the history there gave me a different perspective.
This was the richest city in America, small city in America. It's unbelievable. I know it's ironic too. We won't go there. Honestly, for me as a history person, I look at these things, all these gifts.
That's historian Bill Halsley. He's the author of the book, Colt, The Making of an American Legend. Halsley asked us to meet him at this statue, built in 1905.
It's got a big figure of Sam Colt, the captain of industry, you know, kind of the industrial empire builder. And it's got another little statue of Sam Colt, the boy. He was a teenager when he came up with the concept of the Colt revolver. And on the left side is a...
We're standing at the top of Colt Park, a big city park with a playground and ball fields. Down the hill, you can see the massive Colt factory complex. Halsey's excitement about this place is contagious.
The Coltsville area is important because of its national and even international significance, the fact that a revolution in the world of work started here.
That revolution in the world of work was precision manufacturing. Samuel Colt's innovations allowed him to sell hundreds of thousands of guns to the military and civilians on the western frontier.
The gun-making industry really kick-started the whole industrial age, and it was during that period from 1850 to 1920, for about 75 years, that Hartford was just on fire.
Thanks to a law proposed by Connecticut Congressman John Larson and signed by President Obama back in 2014, plans are in the works to turn Colt Park into a national park. It will be dedicated to the story of Sam Colt and his company. Still, not everyone in the city is happy about the national park.
I think if I had the money that they're going to spend on the site, I'd spend it somewhere completely different.
That's Steve Thornton, a local amateur historian. Back in 2014, he wrote an opinion piece in the Connecticut Mirror with the headline, Honoring Sam Colt, a misplaced effort and a waste of money.
I think the more we learn about the man, the more we have to ask ourselves, exactly what are we celebrating here? Should we name buildings after people who held slaves? So the Colt legacy is very much like that, and that's not hyperbole. Colt was a self-promoter to the point where he really had no loyalty to this country at all. He sold arms and built up the war capacity of the southern states right up until the Civil War. And in fact, he sent his last shipment of guns to the south after Fort Sumter.
The Battle of Fort Sumter occurred on August 12, 1861, and was considered the first battle of the Civil War.
That's got to be a significant part of the story. They were trading with states that were engaging in the enslavement of 4 million people. So that's who Colt is, too.
However Sam Colt felt about the Civil War, he didn't live to see the end of it. After his death in January 1862, his wife Elizabeth took over and ran the company for 39 years. And while Sam may have traded arms to the South, Elizabeth donated much of their land to the city. She left Hartford Colt Park and donated her house as an endowment to a retirement home for women. Bill Halsley says she's the greatest philanthropist Hartford has ever seen, but Thornton sees it differently.
We had a situation here where a more efficient method of killing people is the money that allowed Elizabeth Colt to be so generous.
Thornton's remarks bring up a common struggle for us all, our moral compass. Should we honor Sam and Elizabeth Colt, who, while doing much for Hartford, did manufacture lethal weapons and, in a sense, supported slavery? Thornton says that if we're going to discuss our historical figures, we have a responsibility to tell the whole story. So, will the National Park tell the ugly parts of the Colt story, too? We asked the park superintendent, James Woolsey.
One thing that I am proud of about serving with the National Park Service is when we tell our nation's stories, we tell them honestly and in a full manner with multiple perspectives.
Woolsey says another question he gets is, how does a national park plan to tell the story of guns in America?
But I guess how I would answer that is, what better place to tell the story of firearms than at Coltsville? This place where, you know, helped arm the country, was involved in, you know, the Indian Wars out west, helped arm our nation for war in World War I, World War II. You know, I think that this is the place to tell that story in all its complexity, and we shouldn't shy away from controversy.
Woolsey says he expects there to be public meetings during the process of building the park. Therefore, the people of Harford can have a say in how the story of Coltsville is told. Back at Colt Park, Bill Hosley says knowing Harford's history can help residents feel more connected to the place we live.
Civic attachment, that quality of consciousness that makes people care about a place, is to me the X factor in making a place great. You know, it's really hard. You can't, as I always say, you can't love a person you don't know, and it's hard to love a place you don't know. So part of this idea of history is that it gives people a familiarity with those things that are special and different.
As for me, I think the only way to truly love where you live is to get to know it and get involved. Making Colt Park a national park can only help the city in the long run. Coltsville's history is definitely worth honoring, if the whole story is told.